Welcome to Difference Makers with Devin Dade, a life coach, speaker, and leadership trainer. Devin has the opportunity to speak with entrepreneurs, leaders, people who make a difference in the lives of others.
All right, we are here with Tom Marion today, and we definitely appreciate him showing up and giving us time. Tom, would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm born and raised in Keokuk, grew up here, went off to college and law school, came back in 1978 and started practicing law for 32 years. Then I ran for mayor and was elected, and I'm in what I'm calling my last term. It's two more years, and that would be 8 years, four terms. So my background is in the law, and I was a city attorney or assistant city attorney for all those 32 years. So I knew what I was getting into in the mayorship. I dealt with all the legal issues. I'm married and have two kids, both over 30. So one's at home and one's in West Des Moines.
Awesome. Well, that's great. Way to, man, put it all together real quick there. So making the switch from going from one career to the other, switching over to mayor, what pulled you in the direction of wanting to be a mayor?
Well, my family was always community activists, and my father and mother were both involved in a lot of activities. My father served on nearly every charitable organization, from the Chamber of Commerce to he was a member of the NAACP here. He just did a little bit of everything. And so that was one of the things. Another thing is I thought I had something to offer to the city. We had myself as the attorney, but there are a lot of legal things, even as mayor, that I can do. As a matter of fact, in my first year, the person I'd chosen as city attorney got really sick. And so for 10 months, I did both the city attorney and the mayor's job. They told me I saved about $25,000 for the city. And so, you know, there was one thing. But I really wanted to serve the people. One of the interesting things about practicing law and being mayor is you're dealing with people constantly. And you have to, you know, everything when I was practicing law, guy came in or lady came in to see me, their problem was the most important thing in the world to them. And so I had to treat it that way. And as mayor, you know, I get calls. Somebody said you're going to get so many complaints when you get to be mayor. I get a few, but, you know, not as many as people think. And but I'm able to work with people to try to solve their problems. And that's what it's all about. I'm a problem solver, and I think I'm a facilitator for the employees here. I try to keep some of the problem things away from them, and if I can take care of it, I do.
Oh. Well, what do you think as a mayor is your strongest attribute?
Well, I was an English major in college. It helped in the law because you have to read, write, and speak, you know. And so I think I'm a good speaker, and I can handle things, diffuse problems, and you know, I'm pretty level-headed. I'm laid back to the point where, you know, I'm not going to get angry at anybody, and I try to foster that with them. But I'm also, like I said, a facilitator where I can help the employees with their problems. So if they have something, they can always come to me. As an attorney, I'm a problem solver. There were always problems coming up. So I think it's just my ability with people, both employees and citizens who come to complain about something. And I always try to take care of things for them. If I have to steer them to, let's say, the Public Works Department or the Code Enforcement, I know where to get them. And if I need to be part of that discussion, I certainly will be.
I definitely, you know by just being around you is that you're a very charismatic, caring person. And that has to play a huge part in being a community leader. What do you find that so far you like best about being a community leader?
Well, you know, one of the things I'm really kind of devoting myself to this last term, and I tried to my first three terms, is economic development. you know, the city has some employment problems, unemployment really. We've just lost a business in steel castings, but we all work together, the city, private investors, bankers, and we got a new individual who's going to open steel castings again. So those are successes that we're happy about. We have a hydro turbine person who's going to start building hydro turbines here in the next year or so. And so I think working with economic development, again, you have to appear well with people. People come in and, you know, that first impression, if you mess that up, then, you know, you're lost, because people come in and the first impression, they say, okay, this guy's, you know, not somebody who's going to be helpful or whatever. So working on economic development, trying to, you know, when people come, be excited about our city, and I am. Because I grew up here and raised two kids here. Yeah. And I think it's a great place to live. I lived in Kansas City for a couple years right after I got married. And we both decided, we were both from Keokuk, to come back to Keokuk. Because it is a great place to raise family. In Kansas City, they might not have been able to participate in every extracurricular activity they would here. So that gave them that opportunity. My son played every sport known to man, and told my wife at the end of his career that I had bleacher butt because I'd been to so many events and sat on bleachers. But I'm really sold on Keokuk, and I'll try to sell that to people coming in, whether they're coming in here just to move here to live or whether they're coming here to start a business.
Man, so as far as, because you mentioned not only being a husband, a father, a mayor, an attorney, how do you keep a good balance and keep all the pressure to where you can still be an influencer?
Well, you know, you have to, there are good times and bad times. I mean, there are bad times that, you know, you really think, oh, I didn't handle that as well as I could. But I learned in practice and law, if you take these things too hard, then, you know, you just, it's going to eat at you and you're not going to be able to perform. And I used to tell my clients, you know, there are a lot of things you think after the hearing that you should have said or you should have come up with. But you can drive yourself nuts if you go home that night and sit or go to sleep, try to go to sleep, and you're thinking about, I could have done this or I should have done this. It's over. It's done. So if there are things that, you know, I thought, oh, gosh, I could have done this better, don't kill yourself on that. You have to be in control. So that's what I've always tried to be. And, you know, I help my clients, because you got to prepare them before you do something. And you do that here. You prepare your staff so that, you know, they can handle some of these things and not be overboard on, say, I'm going to discipline this employee because he did something minor. And try to work with them to say, hey, you know, we're not going to do that. Hopefully work with their personality to say, hey, you know, things aren't always black and white. Sometimes things are gray and you have to kind of go with the flow. So that's where I'm at.
Tom, I really like where you started that. One thing I heard was the shoulda, coulda, wouldas is a huge cancer. And you got to live in the moment, so you have to do everything you can possible at that moment with all your abilities and what you know, and you have to move forward. The other thing what I heard was is preparedness, when it meets opportunity, that creates success.
Absolutely.
And what would be your definition of success?
Well, you know, success is, and somebody asked me early on what, you know, your legacy, what do you want your legacy to be? And I said, I'm not worried about a legacy. I want to do the best job I can, and that's all I can do. But I think, what was the question again? I got caught up on it.
What would be your definition of what success is?
Oh, what success is?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I used to have a definition of success by Ralph Waldo Emerson. And I've spoken it at funerals where I've spoken, and it's to basically leave your life as good and for other people that it will help them in the future. So, you know, a success can be little things like leaving a garden. It can be raising a child and doing well for him. I mean, there are minor things in your life that are really successes. And you can have big things happen. But if you leave this world a better place because you lived, then I think that is success.
And I 100% really believe in what you're saying, because leaving the world better than what you found it, that's what we're here to do.
Sure.
And leaving people better than how you met them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really agree. What got you most excited right now in your life?
Well, right now, I'm looking forward to, again, I've got a year and a half left, getting the best things I can for Keokuk. And again, that all starts with economic development. It's a kind of a circular deal, because if you bring businesses here and you bring factories here, then they hire more people. And sometimes they're going to bring people in that, if they're experts, chemists, and things they want to bring. And that trickles down into your community, because people have more disposable income, more money that they can spend. People can open shops that we don't have now because people can spend the money. And we're, for instance, a bookstore. We don't have a bookstore right now, have in the past. But with the money that people can go spend and read and do these things, again, it could be any business, but with more income and more employees, it's great because it helps perpetuate things on Main Street. We've got a lot of gaps on Main Street where there are not stores and businesses. And we'd love to get those filled, but it all starts out with jobs and money.
It does. With wrapping things up, we talked about leaving the world a little better. So, mm-hmm. Before we wrap up, I want to ask you, for mm-hmm. listeners, if you have to give one piece of advice, what would that advice be?
Well, I think it would be to treat people like you'd want to be treated. We had a motto in my fraternity in college, and it was called the True Gentleman. And it was a lot of aspirations. You don't want to make the poor man conscious of his poverty, the obscure man of his obscurity, or any man of his inferiority or deformity. But my favorite line from it was, who appears well in all company. In other words, you don't have to be rich to be impressive, okay? Everybody's got something to give. And I want to appear well, whether I'm dealing with somebody that is a hard-working factory worker or somebody who owns a business. And that's a real challenge in life. But I want to be able to communicate to all variety of economic stratus. That's the thing that I really think, if you can get along with everybody and don't favor somebody over the others. Everybody is important, okay? I don't care, what race, what creed, what religion. You've got to accept people. You've got to accept gay and lesbians. I mean, they're people too. And I think they deserve just like we deserve. And so I like to work with everybody.
That's awesome. Tom, we definitely appreciate you letting us borrow your time. And you are a decision maker. You're huge in the community when it comes to leadership. We definitely appreciate the work you do. And just keep on doing the work, brother. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Difference Makers Podcast. Drive, develop, and deliver. Make excellence a habit. Be the change. See the change. Tune in next time.